Welcome to a Catalyst for Change podcast, where we are a catalyst to inspire compassion among people, promote collaboration with leaders, and build capacity for programming. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst for Change. My name is Lisa Rowe, and I have the honor and privilege of being your host today, as well as the CEO for the amazing organization that hosts this program, Support After Abortion. At Support After Abortion, we believe that in order to end the demand for abortion, we must help those who need healing afterwards. And today I have an amazing guest who challenged me when I spoke to him several weeks ago on the phone. His name is Mark Nicholson. He is the executive director of Passion Life International. And I'm just really excited for what you're going to learn from him, what his ministry is doing, and maybe challenge us here in the States about how we see abortion and what we might be able to do if we could disconnect from the political realm. So welcome, Mark. I'm so glad that you're here with us today.
Thanks so much, Lisa. It's good to be with you.
Yeah. And so, Mark, just for our audience to know your heart a little bit, would you kind of share with them who you are, how you got into the role that you're in, and maybe some of the work that you're currently doing?
Yeah. So I was a long-term missionary in East Asia for a lot of years. And I was introduced by a local pastor to a man who was doing pro-life work in Asia at that time, simply because my wife and I were using a pro-life platform for part of the church planting ministry that we were doing. And that man was John Ensor, who was at that time starting the work of Passion Life, for whom I now work. And yeah, so John and I sat on John's board for a couple of years before I came into the role of executive director with him. But Passion Life essentially started because John was working in the pro-life world in America, was working with Heartbeat International and starting clinics in the Boston area and in Miami and other places, and was just really burdened by finding the places where abortion was most concentrated and going to those areas to address it. And he found when he got to Asia on vacation that there were places that were experience even higher rates of abortion than anywhere in the United States. And he started Passion Life to address that.
Wow. And so what is the goal of Passion Life when they enter into a country or an area that feels that needs Passion Life?
So we have two main focuses. And the first focus is training. And the second focus is what will you do with that training? What's the practical application? And that takes a couple of different forms I'll explain. So we partner specifically with churches in our training. We focus on teaching pastors to be able to go out and retrain people in their communities, what the Bible says about life and how to stand for it effectively, both from a biblical standpoint and from just a scientific, medical, moral philosophy standpoint, because a lot of the people in their communities are not Christians and don't care what the Bible says. Once that happens, once we go in and are able to train these pastors and these leaders, then the response is often, well, how do I get involved in standing, you know, for the most vulnerable in my community? What can I do? And part of that response is animated by those in the community who are post-abortive and who are looking for a way not only to get through the fallout of their past abortive experiences, but want to make a difference in the world because of it. They're animated specifically because they don't want people to go through what they've been through. So we do post-abortion recovery retreats, and we train people to do that. Everything that we do is based on reproducibility and locals training locals to reach locals.
That's amazing. And you just don't go into a community. I mean, you feel led to go into that community, but you also have a very specific way about picking these communities you go into, right?
Well, it is data-driven, if that's what you mean. Yes, we're yeah, looking specifically for areas where the abortion rates are highest. And once we have settled on, we have a list of countries and areas that we kind of prioritize as an organization. And we are always praying and looking for the right entry point into a community. And a lot of times that comes to us through people like your listeners today may say, I know somebody in Bangladesh who he's a pastor, or he's a missionary, or she's a businesswoman, and she would love to have you come in and work with the churches in her community, and she'll help you facilitate that. So often our network of relationships is expanded just through word of mouth.
Wow. And going back to your experience in Asia, that's what we kind of talked about, the amount of people that you were able to bring together, Mark, in such a short period of time. Can you talk to our listeners about that? We've never seen that in our country. I just was super impacted by that.
Yeah. And I will say that I have to use some level of care and caution in what I'm talking about, because some of the areas that we work in Asia are sensitive. And so I'll try to refrain from using the names of countries, but when people do that in America, so often the thought is, well, they're talking about China. Well, there are far more countries in Asia that are sensitive in nature than China. Four of the world's communist countries are in Asia right now. So we are able to get in, and sometimes we're working a little clandestinely. We're not able to get in on a missionary visa, but we are able to work with churches and train pastors. And again, if we can train a small group of pastors, we know that if we do our job well, they can reach the national level with the training on their own initiative. So again, everything that we teach is designed specifically to be heard once, and then you have the confidence and the competence to go out and retrain it again. Now, when that happens, a lot of times the response is, well, we need post-abortion recovery, or we need crisis counseling intervention training, or we need help in how to start a hotline and how to counsel women over the phone. Those are things that we will partner with them in the long term to achieve, and make return trips to those countries as necessary. But our main goal is to see the training light the fire. And we believe that anything that is helpful to a community as far as practical help ministry starts with the Bible. It starts with good theology. We don't start with abortion when we teach. We don't go into communities and teach about the evils of abortion. I think people by and large realize that abortion is something that they don't like, and they only see as necessary under certain circumstances. But if we start with the Bible and we start with training pastors and they train their people, then people are, they're more likely to speak up in a time of crisis. I read a testimony from Vietnam just this morning of two women, one who, well, it, I guess the main focus of what I'm thinking about now was just this one woman who said that she had just helped save a baby. And she had been through the training that we offer, and she was able to go out into her community, and she met a lady who was thinking about having an abortion. And she talked with her and just basically told her that she would stand with her and she would be there with her through the process. And the lady decided to keep her baby. She said the only devastating part of all that was just about a year ago, she had been through the same process with somebody else, and she never tried to talk this person out of having an abortion. She never told her, I'll stand with you if you decide not to have an abortion. She basically comforted and consoled her through the abortion process. And now she's able to comfort and console her through her recovery process from that abortion as well, which is great. But her mindset has shifted now that she's been through the Passion Life training.
Oh, that's wow. And you've impacted thousands upon thousands in Asia, which is in small amounts of time.
Yeah. This email that I received from Vietnam this morning said that they have just passed over 39,000 trained this past year or so in Vietnam in this. And if you think about 39,000 Christians in a country the size of Vietnam, as you know, when someone has a baby, a whole community is involved in that. And when somebody, you know, is saved from abortion, that story travels. When someone is finds a way to keep their baby, there are neighbors and relatives and you know, people in the community who are all impacted. And so it really does spread under its own weight.
That's amazing. And so when we spoke on the phone, I was so impacted and I felt like there was a lot that we could learn from you, because I love what you just said. I learned that today, that you don't lead with the message of how abortion hurts people. You lead with the message of hope and healing, which allows people to come in and then be touched by the message that you're there to share. And so two questions. The first is, how could we learn from that message here in the United States? Mm-hmm. And then the second question is, why is there such an openness in all of these communist countries for a Christian message to go far and wide like that? So if you could answer both of those, I feel like they fit together.
I think they do fit together. And as we've discussed, I think one of the main differences in what we are dealing with in some of these other countries is the fact that the abortion issue is not saddled so much in other countries with the politics that it has been saddled with in America. And there is, it seems to me that whichever group or whichever individual or whichever organization finds out how to convince pastors to talk about this issue in America, that will be the breakthrough that will make a major difference. They'll have really changed the calculus on the abortion conversation, because that's what's happening in these other countries. The pastors are willing to talk about it. They see it as an issue both that they don't want their people of their congregations to experience, and that they realize that people in their congregations are carrying guilt and grief from, and they need to be liberated from that. They need to understand how the gospel applies at the very practical level to this thing that's in their past that they feel so bad about. So that's what we are finding on the mission field. Pastors who are willing to come together. John Ensor said one of the first places, that's the president of Passion Life, said one of the first places he ever went to teach overseas, this Passion Life material, there were 75 pastors gathered together in one room waiting for him. And they've been praying and singing for 2 hours before he got there. And he thought to himself, I've been a pastor for 20 some years in America, and I have never seen 75 pastors in one room before on any subject, around any, for any reason, you know? But these pastors were willing to come together and address this because they saw it as a major issue that needed to be addressed in their communities. And that does seem to be a difference in the way the American church deals with it. The American church deals with it as a political issue, as a women's rights issue, and as something that people needed to be protected from having to hear somebody talk about rather than have it discussed and have a deep discussion on how the gospel applies to the guilt and the grief of abortion.
Wow. And so what you're touching on for me as I hear you is that we're not leading with the Lord oftentimes in our messaging. We're leading with what the culture's telling us to speak about. And, you know, Mark, I'm thinking about this pastor that said, Lisa, I speak about it, but I have a lot of compassion for the newer pastors that are afraid of offending 50% of their population. And so what can we do you think, to help to spur these pastors forward with a father's heart, not a cultural heart?
Yeah, well, that's an excellent question. And again, I really think it's the question pertaining to the discussion that we're having right now. Pastors, they do have to take into consideration what's going to be offensive. There's no question about that. I have the sense that far fewer people would be offended by pastors talking about abortion in a compassionate, biblical, theological way, a way that applies the gospel specifically to the guilt and grief of bloodshed. These are things that the Bible talks very explicitly about. However, you have to do some digging. to be able to connect the dots in the Bible. In other words, the Bible doesn't talk about abortion per se. It doesn't really mention abortion, but it does talk about the shedding of innocent blood. I had a phone call coming in. Sorry, are you there?
Yeah, sorry. Thank you.
It does talk about the shedding of innocent blood. And for instance, when we go into Kazakhstan and we talk about what the Bible says about the shedding of innocent blood and the value of human life, and people begin to connect these dots, they really begin to come up with a picture of the idea that abortion is destructive on so many levels, and that there will be fallout on so many levels if we go this direction. In America, it's just assumed that, okay, abortion is not something that we as Christians think is a good thing, and if we can avoid it, we should, but we're not going to talk about it. I think that if people would talk about it, if pastors would talk about it in the United States, far more people, women and men, would find the healing that they've been looking for years and years and years. I fall into that category. I fall into the category of having dragged around with me the guilt of allowing a girlfriend to have an abortion when I was in high school, and didn't talk about it for years with anybody. Just wondered what it was doing to my soul, whether or not I had this unforgivable stain in me. And this is during the years that I was a pastor. I carried that guilt and that grief and that shame. I needed to deal with it, and I didn't realize I needed to deal with it. So I think pastors are the key. The Bible really indicates that if people will lead well on spiritual issues, if pastors and Christian leaders will lead well on these issues, God will break through and bring blessing.
Wow. And thank you for sharing your testimony, Mark, because I think that just creates a whole nother level of credibility, but a whole nother conversation. I'm so sorry for your loss, Mark. And I'm so grateful that you've chosen to use that pain for such purpose. Oh, it's so powerful. What I have heard time and again is that there's pastors that have a story very common to yours that haven't received the healing. And it goes back to my clinical connection where I couldn't sit in other people's junk because I hadn't sat on my own. So right. Do you think there's a subconscious or unconscious pushing away of the conversation because we have pastors and church leadership who haven't experienced healing, maybe never told anybody about their abortion experience? And so here we are leading people, we have a call on our life, but there's this like void. What do you think?
When in our churches we can talk about poverty and racism and inequality and human trafficking, but we can't talk about abortion, we inadvertently tell people that it's the unforgivable sin. And I think that if this were a conversation that was brought to the forefront, we would see the kinds of things that we're seeing on the mission field. We're seeing people come by the tens of thousands, pastors standing in front of their congregations, confessing the sin of abortion, not just the sin of abortion, but the sin of promiscuity and the sin of, you know, all these different things that led into the situation that they find themselves in now. And they feel like they've been fooled. They feel like they've been lied to. Well, Satan is the father of lies. And the most recent lie that they fell into was thinking that it would be compassionate not to bring these very things up with the people in their congregations.
Yeah. Gosh, I think we just nailed it. I just really believe that what you're saying is so true. And what would you say about the people that are unchurched? What can pastors be doing to reach those outside of their four walls? Because our research tells us that the people that have experienced abortion have likely fallen away from the church. So how does a pastor speaking on this topic, sharing their heart, leading with the Father's heart, not the cultural heart, bring about this kind of barrier burst or barrier breaker?
Well, pastors are not growing their churches by personal evangelism by and large. Pastors are growing their churches by teaching their people to evangelize, okay? People go out in their communities and they use their relationships to share the gospel with people. And if they would do the same thing on abortion, people would go out into neighborhoods and communities and they would talk very compassionately and they would say, those powerful, powerful words to their pregnant neighbors, I will help you. I don't know what you need, but I will help you. And if people were out there and had the backbone to say that and had a little bit of training in what it meant to these women to have someone say that in their time of crisis, we would see people coming to Christ left and right, and people coming out of these, leaving these abortion crisis crossroads in the right direction. Again, if pastors will talk about it with their people will talk about it with their neighbors. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road.
Wow, that's so awesome. So as we wrap up, I just feel like there's a real strong message for pastors here. You know, if you are a pastor, 1 in 4 women in your congregation before the age of 45 will experience an abortion. That same woman is 50% more likely to have a second abortion. And it's not just the woman, it's the man. Mark has shared his experience. It's a family issue. It's a systems issue. It's a generational issue. And so I hope that you're hearing Mark's words profoundly today, that if we aren't talking about it, we are bringing about shame and condemnation in a way that we don't even realize, because the pure silence is creating condemnation. Mark, is there anything more that you would want a pastor to hear today?
Pastors is that we focus primarily on pastors at the beginning level of what we do. And what all I would say to the pastors is God has chosen and enabled the ministry that you have specifically so that you can bring the gospel of Jesus to a hurting world. And this is an entry point that really can't be paralleled. Medical missions has been very effective throughout missions history, because everybody needs a doctor, or everybody knows somebody who needs a doctor. And to serve people in that time of sickness or crisis is an extremely effective way to demonstrate the love of Jesus and his ability to heal. And we really believe that the abortion issue is the new medical missions of our day. Everybody in Cuba has had an abortion or knows somebody who's had an abortion and needs a pastor to lead well on this issue.
Mm. Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Mark. So Mark, if somebody is listening and they're saying, oh my gosh, I need to learn more, I need to get connected, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, our website has just been redesigned at passionlife.org. On there, you will find free resources and you'll find information about the countries that we're working in. And you'll find the priority areas that we're still trying to break into, that we need people just like your listeners to help us make connections to pastors and leaders and business people in those areas, so that we can continue to run to the tip of the spear, go to the areas of greatest need in this world, and work with pastors and churches to make a change in their communities.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Mark, for joining us today. And thank you for all that are listening. We're so grateful to hear about how abortion healing and leadership around the topic and how to lead with a pastor's father's heart, really, and not the cultural heart, and how it's happening in countries where you would least expect it in thousands and thousands. So I'm really grateful for today, Mark. And if you're interested in learning more about support after abortion, visit us at our website at supportafterabortion.com. And we look forward to all that's to come. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you for joining us today. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, you are not alone. Contact us today at supportafterabortion.com. If you were inspired by today's message, we welcome you to join the conversation by following us on Facebook or Instagram.